Welcome back, WNST Towson, Baltimore, and WNST.net. This is WNST Rock Week. Anything that you miss here, you can find out in our Bio Toyota Audio Vault 24 hours a day, as well as blogs. We have pictures available there. You can hashtag Nostalgia25 or WNST Rock Week, and you will find all of the interviews with many, many rock stars here, including several from this guy. This was a rising era 2003 visit on my WNST program with Nils Lofgren, who I knew from back in the 1980s. I had interviewed Nils on a solo tour after the Born in the USA tour when the E Street Band sort of collapsed, and wrote about that for the Baltimore Evening Sun. You hear that interview, you'll hear some more modern interviews, and certainly he did a 2016 spring sit down with us that was unbelievable. Very, very lengthy that you can find in the Buy a Toyota Audio Vault that was about an hour-long chat. But Nils has visited in about three or four different Super Bowls on Radio Row through the course of time. This was a call-in before a local show. I was at D.C. I believe it was then the MCI Center. It wasn't even called the Rising Center then. Down in D.C., and Bruce was touring on the Rising and was once again one of the biggest stars in the world. Always a pleasure to talk about sports and rock and roll, even if he is a Red Skins fan, with the great, great Nils Lofgren of the legendary E Street Band.
All right, let's go get Nils Lofgren. See, I knew he would call. I called like 20 minutes ago. I knew he would call back. Ray, you didn't believe me. And he's not going to believe the story I had to tell, you know? Ladies and gentlemen, the great Nils Lofgren joining us here live on the Budweiser Sports Forum. Nils, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, Nasty. How are you?
Man, I mean, Wednesday night, you put on the performance there. You guys have been working so hard. Now you got a homecoming show tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's D.C. It's going to be exciting, and got a big guest list of family. And I'm just glad we finally started the tour. Rehearsals have been so chaotic and hectic, and you know, any great band, I mean, you do a dozen shows, and you get to another level. So I'm excited that things actually started. And as always, Bruce goes out and delivers. You can always count on him, so it's cool to be a part of it.
And you're glad I'm not asking for tickets, right?
Well, I got to say, Nasty, I almost fell over because I think for the first time in 18 years, within 48 hours of a show, I got a call from someone who said, I don't need tickets or passes. I almost fell down.
Am I a great guy or what?
Hey, man, I had to return that call.
Exactly. I need nothing from you, but we are going to bug you for Indianapolis in November.
Oh, there you go.
For you with this, the whole album and stuff, we talked to you back in January, and I got to tell you, Nils, I wasn't going to bother you today. I said it on the air. I said, look, Nils gave us an hour back in January. I was going to break the tapes out. Do you know on the other end, we were in New Orleans together, they didn't hit the record button.
No,
we did not have it. We only had the beginning. We had the hello, Nils, welcome. We're going to a break. We'll be right back with Nils Lofgren, and the tape went dead.
You're kidding.
And I found that out about 45 minutes ago. I had like planned on running this tape. So I said, well, now I got to bug Nils. So the first thing I'm going to say is I don't need tickets. For you with this tour and with the album, and I've been listening to the album for the 10 days it's been out. I guess the words are so dark, but the music is so hopeful. I mean, is that kind of the way you see this music in this album, The Rising?
Yeah, well, you know, the words are, I guess dark is one word, but it's also, you know, it's just a dose of reality, and it's done with great deal of respect that probably, I think only Bruce, you know, is a writer that could address something on 10 or 11 tracks with that kind of subject matter and do it with some respect and humility, yet so poignantly. So, hey, he's the best, you know. He's a great singer, writer, player, but when it comes to words, man, he's got no peers, and I was proud to be a part of it. And I think, too, you know, there's stuff like Mary's Place and this and that, and I don't know, I think that there was some concern about presenting it live, taking people that low, but on the other hand, you know, his shows have always been a up and down ride, and we're hoping that, because this is life, it's all our lives, and we're just hoping that'll make the highs even more a higher high, and people appreciate the time to cut loose with stuff like Mary's Place and enjoy it, because you can't run and hide from it, man. It's the world we're in, and I think Bruce has handled it and addressed it extremely eloquently and, as always, with great music behind it.
I know when you guys get together and put this thing together, it's certainly Bruce's vision, and he is, for lack of expression, the boss when it comes to this stuff. But when you hear the album for the first time, when it's getting mixed down and you're cutting your parts in Atlanta back 6-7 months ago, when you get that finished product in your hand, how far along are the songs? I mean, do you know exactly what it's going to sound like before it's packaged and sent out at the end, or do you put the thing together and then Bruce kind of figures out later on exactly the way he's going to tweak it and push it?
Well, it's a bit of both. I mean, Bruce, just to have some sanity in the production, he found a guy, Brendan O'Brien, who's fabulous, and they hit a great groove together. Just kind of accidentally, what he would do is cut the tracks with the rhythm section, and Roy, you know, Roy Bitton, fabulous on piano and synths, and Max and Gary, and they cut four or five things, and then they bring all of us else in a couple days at a time to work on it and put some parts on so they can focus on each individual instrument. And I just accidentally happened to be the last guy down on the three different trips. So when I got there, most of the parts had been recorded. So naturally, as a producer and a singer, as they were working on it, they have the parts featured that they liked the most, and so I did get a good feeling for what it would become, and I put my little parts on and was happy to just hang out and get to watch them. You know, I stuck around 4 or 5 days a clip and just watched them work, so I got to hear it a lot and had a good idea what it was going to become. I was real proud of both of them.
From all indications, you know, I'm out on the websites and reading all the stuff that's going on, and I haven't talked to you since you played down at the Ram's Head about a month and a half, 2 months ago. With the rehearsals and getting this tour ready to go and the music on the rising being so lush, how hard was it to replicate that and bring it on the stage? From everything I've seen, heard, and read, what you guys are doing on stage was like giving birth. I mean, it wasn't as simple as, hey, we learned these songs 6 months ago, we're just going to go onto a stage and do this thing. There's a lot of reworking and a lot of things going on that maybe over the last 6 or 7 weeks you guys had to prepare to take this thing out on the road.
Well, one thing that happened was, which was a first for Bruce, who usually records, you know, 6-7 albums over 3 years and debates putting one out. He recorded this very quickly over 7 weeks of work spaced out over a few months. Actually, this was all done in the last, you know, three, 4 months. It was a big surprise to all of us that he had it completed and felt good about having it come out so quick. And I thought it was the right call for obvious reasons. The music's great, but it was uncharacteristically quick process. And what happens is, you know, the record's brilliant, but now to present it live, you got to change things. Sometimes, you know, we'll change keys so Bruce can sing higher, because sometimes you need to put a little more energy into it so it'll read in a stadium setting. And just all the natural stuff, and with the wealth of new music and wanting to present a lot of it, we had a month to rehearse. We could have used maybe 6 weeks, so we pushed ourselves a little bit harder than usual, and it'll keep changing and evolving as we go, but we feel like we've got it to a point now where it's certainly ready for the public and it's time to play. And, you know, you learn the most about a song and what it needs in front of an audience, and that's where we are now. Those warm-up shows we did around town a little bit helped us out a lot. But we're ready to present it, and Bruce will keep tweaking it as we go, and we'll all tweak our individual parts. But it feels real like a good show already to me, and I'm glad we're out in front of people.
Nils Lofgren joining us here on the Budweiser Sports Forum. We'll get to the Raven Redskin thing momentarily, but one last question for you. Bruce, on the cover of Time and Newsweek in 1975, the revival, and you were on the outside looking in. He was a fan of yours at that point, and in 84... Born in the USA comes out and it takes the whole world by storm, sells a bajillion albums. And then there are the quiet times, you know, when you guys weren't with the band and I guess the Ghost of Tom Joad comes out and it wasn't cover of Time magazine worthy. Why here? Why now? Why this album? This album is number one in the country. It's the most anticipated tour of the year. The Stones are going on the tour on the road in 4 weeks. We're not hearing anything about them. The Who's out on the road. We're not hearing anything about them. All we're hearing about is Bruce and the cover of all the magazines. Why has the media and the public taken to this as opposed to any of the other things he's done the last 15 or 18 years?
Well, I think that, you know, the perception of the whole media thing is so crazy and not based in any real reality. I mean, Ghost of Tom Joad is a brilliant record, but it's not, you know, what the press can chat up. Obviously, this is the first official record with the E Street Band since Born in the USA. That's 18 years ago. It's also, you know, a record of brand new Bruce stuff in a rock setting, even though it's very rough stuff to listen to lyrically. And it's a combination of a lot of things. It's also a combination of Bruce having a brilliant batch of songs that lent itself to the band, and he wants to go share it live, and he wants to do some promotion to share it, because even Bruce, the more promotion he does, the more people know about it, and he's proud of it, and we want to share it, and we got to play the game a little bit. No one likes sitting around answering questions, but...
except when you talk to me.
Except you.
Right.
Because you called and said you didn't need nothing.
I need nothing. I need nothing.
No, I mean, listen, that was great. But listen, it's just even Bruce was surprised. He got together with Brendan as a kind of experiment, and next thing he knew, he was writing his brains out, thrilled, excited. Brendan took over production and relieved Bruce of that responsibility, which is huge, and allowed him to focus more on his art as a writer and singer and player, and they hit a great groove, and next thing you know, he's got a record he should be proud of, and we want to share it, so we're going to go out and do that to the best of our ability.
How weird was it on Wednesday night to be playing in an arena, especially an arena you guys have played 10, 15, 20 dates from time to time, and not have any seats on the floor? I mean, it's a general admission gig down on the floor, and everybody's crowding the stage. It must feel like, I guess, the Stone Pony back in the 70s,
right? Well, it's kind of neat. You know, last tour we did a lot of that in Europe, but not in America. And I think for the hardcore fans that want to get up and do that, it's a good atmosphere. Our show has got a lot of roaring rock to it, so it's nice to see people up dancing around having fun, and you know, people want to sit down, the seats are available to buy, or at least they were, so it's exciting to do it that way, and I think we're up for it and looking forward to a long ride.
Glory Days, Born in the USA, back in the set. You had to relearn some songs, huh?
Yeah, I've been lobbying for the electric version of Born in the USA all tour. I mean, Bruce's acoustic version was fabulous, but that song Electric just always gives me the chills, so I'm glad we're doing that again.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to give the set list away too much, but very, very heavy on the new stuff. If you don't have the new album, you're going to really be exposed to this stuff tomorrow night then at MCI Center, huh?
Yeah, it's unusual to have it. We, even after the first show, noticed how exciting it was that the audiences knew the new stuff already, and the record's just been out a week. So that was a big plus for us, and we're doing like 10 or 11 songs off the new record, which is unheard of for a new tour, to be doing that much of a new record and having it seem to work. So we're excited and hoping to see a lot of people down the road.
Did you watch your Redskins play last week or no?
No, man, I wanted to. What's going on with them?
Nothing good, I hope. You know, I'm a Raven guy. So.
I know. Well, you guys got decimated, man. What's going on with the Ravens this year?
Well, we're going to find out tonight. We're about 4 hours away from our first preseason game. And so I'm heading down there tonight. I got Bruce tomorrow night. I'm explaining to the listeners, this is like one of the great weekends of my young life. I mean,
that's great, Nasty.
Yeah, man. So, well, look.
You go enjoy it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do that, and I'm glad you're not watching the Redskins. Maybe we can make you a Raven fan before it's all over with.
Hey, well, I was pulling for him in the Super Bowl since the Skins weren't there.
Yeah, you hate the Giants, too, so that probably played into things. Hey, Nils, thanks for calling me back. Tomorrow night, be healthy. Enjoy yourself out on the tour, and I will bug you for tickets somewhere along the line.
And that's okay, Nasty.
take care of yourself.
You take care of yourself.
Be good. All right. Nils Lofton, ladies and gentlemen. From the E Street Band, joining us here live. That was just good stuff there, huh? Can't see nothing in front of me.